is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two, VSiN Prime Time here on Wednesday. Matt Brown, Mark Melusis, as we watch the Yankees get knocked around the yard here early on. We watch my bet get knocked around the yard here early on. So, hey, we'll see what can happen. And 7-0 Blue Jays over the Yankees early on. 5-0 Mets over the Brewers here early on as well. Tigers did end up getting a hit. See, I didn't jinx anything. It was the fourth inning. I mean, like, you know, it is
no,
what it
fourth
is.
Yeah, inning. Yeah, fourth inning. I mean, if it was the eighth or the ninth inning, that's not great baseball etiquette, Matt. But fourth inning, you can go out there. It's okay.
Chris Sanchez is handling the Padres right now. He is 6 2/3 in. Padres only have one run across. We'll see that Phillies team. 15-36 on the season, looking for that win number 51 here for them. Try to increase that lead over there in the East. But Mark, I do want to talk here about the AFC North, a very interesting division. Certainly now that Aaron Rodgers has decided that he will grace the city of Pittsburgh with his presence and come in for his last farewell season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Ravens, one of your Super Bowl favorites, one of the highest win totals in the league. Cincinnati is one that I think people are going to argue about for a long time, right up until when the season gets going. And of course, the Browns expected to be one of the bottom feeders. As we look at a Ravens squad with an 11.5 win total, Mark, I mean, 12 games, winning 12 games, even if it is one of the premier teams in the league, winning 12 games is definitely tough. We talked about the opening stretch of that schedule, and I do wonder, what do they have to do, in your opinion, in that early stretch of the schedule to get to 12 wins this season, to get over that 11.5?
Yeah, I think probably 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to get over there. I mean, I think if they start, you know, 2-4, 3-3, I think you'd be a little bit concerned. You know, but it is Lamar Jackson in the prime. You do love, you know, Derrick Henry being able to run the football, you know, but after that, you know, you've got a very difficult stretch. I mean, Bills, Browns is a layup. Lions, I'm not necessarily sure what version of the Lions. You're a little down on the Chiefs this year. And you got the Texans concerned about their offensive line. Then you got the Rams, who I think are going to be the team before their week 7 bye. And that's Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, before they take on the Bengals on Thanksgiving. You know, I agree with you. It's difficult to get to 12 wins in the National Football League. But when you're looking at one of the premier teams in the AFC, one of the premier teams coached by John Harbaugh, led by, you know, the MVP, one of the MVP favorites in Lamar Jackson, a defense that might not be near what it once was, an offensive line that's good enough. I think the Baltimore Ravens, I think the only way to play is them to go over 11.5, unless something happens with Lamar Jackson. Because, you know, I don't know how you feel, Matt, about the Steelers in that division. The Bengals defense is not particularly good. We all love Joe Burrow, and the Browns are going to be a mess. I mean, so like how difficult within the division is going to be? I mean, are they going to split against Cincinnati? You could see that. They'll probably take both games against Cleveland. And then you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, even if you're bullish, you know, even if you like the Rodgers move, you might be a little concerned about those matchups against Pittsburgh. You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick just getting traded in Miami, Jalen Ramsey being brought in for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Love Mike Tomlin, but, you know, maybe they get one against Baltimore, but you could clearly see Baltimore potentially winning both of those games in one of the great rivalries in the National Football League.
Yeah, I'm looking at this and it's, you know, the definite wins, and I'll just say definite wins, we'll give them both Cleveland games. They've got the Jets. They've got, I'll give them New England. I'll even give them both Pittsburgh games. So like we're looking at 6 definite wins. And then you got to win games either at Buffalo, at Kansas City. It is home against Houston and the Rams, but both of those teams, again, a lot of people like a lot of those, like both of those teams. Chicago should be better. I'll give them Miami's too. Never mind. So 7 wins for sure. You split with Minnesota, maybe. You split with Cincinnati, like you just mentioned. That gets you to 10. I think it's going to be cutting it close. I mean, it would – who knows? If they start out 6-0, and then they need to be on, like, 17-0 watch or something like that. But, I mean, if you look at how tough this beginning of the schedule is and then how a lot of people expect some of these teams to be better – I think 12 wins is tough. I think I could only be on the underside of that. I don't think I could be on the overside.
There you go. Well, I mean, I think they're facing Buffalo when you want to face them, right? Mm-hmm. You want to face them at the beginning of the year. It's not going to be cold. It's not going to be inclement. You don't think mm-hmm. rain or wind are going to play a factor on that initial game week one, right? Then you get the Browns. Then, you know, you get the Lions at home. And like I mentioned, I'm a little bit concerned about Detroit this year, even though I love Dan Campbell. Concerns about the losses along that offensive line. The fact that they lost both coordinators. Aaron Glenn's the head coach of the New York Jets. Ben Johnson's the head coach of the Chicago Bears. You can't say, well, it's plug and play. Everything's going to be A-okay. Well, I don't necessarily know that because we've watched enough National Football League over the course of our lives, Matt, to realize there are some coordinators that are really, really good. And there are some guys that get opportunities and jobs and they don't necessarily take advantage of it aren't particularly good. And the offense doesn't look one and the same. So I think that Buffalo game is going to be huge. We talked about the MVP race earlier on. I think it sets a tone early. I think if Baltimore goes into Buffalo week one, I think they're clearly going to go over the 11.5. I think if they go into Buffalo, lose that game, then I think you can be a little bit concerned. I think they'll be 1-1 going into that Detroit game week three.
I think one of the most polarizing teams is going to be Cincinnati this year. I think everybody loves Joe Burrow. You've got to love the weapons that he has re-signing both of those receivers. Gesicki is a quality tight end. The offensive line, I know, has been retooled 50 different ways, but maybe it can be good this year. It can at least be halfway decent, but that defense, and likely to be without Trey Hendrickson, it doesn't seem like he's going to be there, and he wants out of town. Seems like it's going to give up a ton of points. And so, Mark, when you look at this and you see a win total of 9.5 there on Cincinnati, I look at a team that is either going to fly over it because they figure out a way to just overcome the defensive deficits, or probably is going to be way under that. They might be a sub 500 team because it is just too much for them to overcome. Like, I don't think I could bet this on the normal line. I think I'd be looking at alts on this thing.
Right. Or you might be looking at a team that's like 9-7 going into the final week of the regular season. And then you're looking at like what happens there? Like, what's on the line there? Is there a playoff game on the line? Have they already sewed it up in the AFC? Conceivably, you might look at the strength of the AFC and say that there's a playoff spot on the line. Got to win, go out there and win that game. Right. So I agree with you. I think there's one way for Cincinnati because of the defensive deficiencies. I think you got to go back and play the way that Peyton Manning used to play with the Indianapolis Colts, where, you know, you jump out on teams early and you're leading games 14-0, 21-0, where you're able to help out that defense to where then you make your opponent kind of a one trick pony, where you don't defensively have to deal with the ground game and the pass game. Because I just don't, you mentioned about the issues that are having with Trey Hendrickson and the contract, right? The Bengal defense, even with him a year ago, was god awful getting after it and stopping people. You've got Burrow, he's got to stay healthy. You know they're going to score a ton of points. I think it's going to be really, if you believe they're going over that 9.5, then you think Burrow isn't going to be an MVP candidate. You think that offense is going to be wonderful week in and week out, and that there's not going to be much that stops them offensively, because I think that's the way the Bengals have got to play.
Mark, are we pretty sure that the Ravens are the best team and the Browns are the worst team in this division?
Yes, okay. I'm pretty sure about that.
Do you like Cincinnati better than you like Pittsburgh, or do you think that there is a chance that Pittsburgh could end up being good?
I think there's a chance that Pittsburgh could be good, you know, and everything that comes along with Aaron Rodgers. I know he's exhausting, Matt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just exhausting when you look at Rodgers. And I think people, you know, have had too much of Aaron Rodgers and the McAfee appearances, and it's a great show. Yeah. It's not that, but everything all about him. You know, I think the trade of Minka for Ramsey, I think, is intriguing. Especially when you hear the stories coming out of Pittsburgh, is that Minka wasn't operating within the defense a year ago, even as good of a safety as he is. I like what they've done offensively. I believe in Mike Tomlin. I do know this, having watched Rodgers, and we all watched Rodgers the last 2 years with the Jets, is that, you know, this is not the same Rodgers from 6-7 years ago. Father, if this indeed is his last year, he's going to be more of a pocket passing quarterback, not going to be able to elude the pass rush all that much. And then you hope and cross your fingers every time he gets hit, because you have the fear that the next injury is coming around the corner. So I think NFL people looked at him toward the tail end of last season and said, well, this is not Breeze Roethlisberger at the end. He can still go out there and throw it. Finally lands in Pittsburgh, a winning situation. I think there's an opportunity, a pathway here for the Steelers to potentially be the second best team in the AFC North.
Yeah, I'm looking at this so you can bet exact results. And Ravens Bengals, Steelers, Browns is +250. And then Ravens, Steelers, Bengals, Browns is +390. You could bet both and walk away. If you are very confident that the Ravens are the best team and very confident that the Browns are the worst team, you could bet both, walk away, make profit if it ends up either or team finishing second or third in the division. Just something to think about in these divisions where we think we have a very clear number one and a very clear number four. You could just flip-flop the teams in the middle and figure out a way to make some cash with all of that. As far as the Browns go, not much to say for me with the Browns. It's an absolute dumpster fire there. If they win four games, I think it'll be a successful season for them.
Yeah, I think it's bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you look at that quarterback room and it tells you everything you need to know about the Cleveland Browns. You know, they paid Myles Garrett during the course of the offseason. I think defensively, I think there are guys on that led by Garrett that you really, really like. Outside of that, I don't really see all that much. Quarterback's the most important position in the league. Mm-hmm. It might be the Shedeur Sanders show at some point during the course of the year, but I think the Browns, by far, they're one of the worst teams in the league, and they're by far the worst team in the AFC North.
Guys, if you'd like to bet horses like a bunch of the guys here at the network do, we say go and do it over at FirstBet, FirstBet.com. That is the number one, STBET.com. Use the promo code VEASAN200, and when you do, you can get a 20% rebate on all of your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Not only can you make your bets in the app, you can sit there and watch the races as well. Again, FirstBet.com, the number one, STBET.com. VEASAN200 is your code. 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days. Up to $200.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Peace and prime time here on a Wednesday. Matt Brown, Mark Melusis, as we roll on through giving you some NFL previews real quick. Hit this scoreboard over in Major League Baseball in case there's any of these games you want to get involved with. Still 4-1 Phillies over the Padres. Twins still holding on to that 2-1 lead over the Marlins in the sixth inning. Mentioned the Tigers got a hit. They got a run as well. So 3-1 now. Nats over the Tigers. Only a couple hits, though, there for the Tigers. Mackenzie Gore doing a good job against this potent lineup. 8-0 now, Blue Jays over the Yankees. Added yet another run there in this puppy. So 8-0, 9 hits through 3 innings for this Blue Jays team. Red Sox 1-0 over the Reds in the 5th inning. Mentioned that Mets explosion against Mizorowski, 5-0 in that one. We've got the 2-0 lead there for the Angels on the road against the Braves. And just getting going, Guardians, Cubs, and Orioles, and Rangers. A quick reminder, we'll have first pitch at the Astros and Rockies coming to you here in about 20 minutes. I did take the over strikeouts, over 6.5 strikeouts there for Hunter Brown. 8-0 Blue Jays. Break up the Blue Jays.
Oh, my God. Embarrassing. What a terrible performance by the Yankees. Will Warren getting lit up. I mean, the Yankees deserve this. Good for Toronto.
Yeah.
Celebrated Canada Day yesterday. Come out tonight. Will Warren on the mound and send the message decidedly and early. Yankee fans across this country can flip the TV off and go do something else.
That's true. That is true. I mean, look, it's only 8:15 over there right now. Guys, go to dinner, go to the bar, have a cocktail, like that.
You don't go get yourself a filet mignon.
Yeah, you don't got to hang out. You ain't got to watch this one anymore. And trust me, if they start coming back, we'll let you know. But I mean, you know, let's just go ahead. You can head out. You ain't got to worry about this one. So the AFC South, a very interesting division in which the Texans are your favorites. 9.5 is their win total, followed by the Colts and Jags, both set at 7.5. Titans sitting there at 5.5. Mark, I would find it hard to believe that there's a case for anybody to be made that you are super, super, super in the favor of the Jags or the favor of the Colts to win this division. I'd listen to you if anybody wanted to give me the case for either one of those teams. I think the Texans, at least on paper, are superior to them. It looks like Daniel Jones is going to start for the Colts. We know we got Trevor Lawrence over there with the Jags, and what are we going to get from Travis Hunter, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that this Texans team, from what we saw last year, rash of injuries all over the place, it seems like the film was out on C.J. Stroud. The defense has adjusted a little bit. He struggled at times for sure. Do you think that that was just, hey, second year growing pains and really running on the bad side of variance from an injury standpoint? Or do you think this Texans team is definitely vulnerable?
I think it's probably a little bit of a combination of both. I mean, their offensive line, Matt, last year was abysmal. So, you know, Stroud didn't. I think it's a combination of bad offensive line play up front, inability to go out there, consistently run it or protect. And then I think there were teams that went to work during on C.J. Stroud during the course of the offseason. I think you saw a little bit of a step back. Now the question is, you know, what did Stroud and his group and the Texans as a group go out there and go to work with, work to this offseason to make sure after the step back that he takes a couple steps forward? I think when you look at D'Amico Ryans, I think he's a wonderful coach. I think the only play is to believe in the Texans based on, you know, the brilliance, what we saw from Stroud early on in his career. And I think he's going to bounce back and have a really good year this year. I think of the teams behind, the only argument to be made, man, is it crazy to think the Colts quarterback, it's a better situation with Jones at quarterback than Anthony Richardson?
I would, if I was a Colts backer, I would want Daniel Jones over Anthony Richardson. I think I understand the sample size is small that we saw last year with Anthony Richardson, but I think it was enough for me to know that that guy, all of the concerns that we had coming out of college, the inexperience, the inaccuracies, sometimes making the bad decisions, all played out, right, in that, again, in that small sample size that we saw him play for the Colts. And yes, he's going to light you up every now and then with his legs, but I would rather have if I was playing the over 7.5, or if I was playing the to make the playoffs at 2-1, or if I even was taking a flyer on them to win the division at +380, I would be wanting Daniel Jones as quarterback.
I'm with you. And I also think that he's really kind of ticked off the way that it ended in New York with the Giants. And he has no one to blame but himself. But I also think that the Giants didn't necessarily put a good offensive line in front of him. And I think the coaching staff obviously soured on him toward the tail end. Mm-hmm. And now he lands with a head coach that we do know this and Shane Steichen that has an opportunity or can get the very best if you have the athletic skill set. Now, the question you have with Daniel Jones is the amount of hits that he took in New York. You know, is he going to be, and you saw at the tail end with the Giants where he became a little gun shy, couldn't really cut it loose, didn't trust the guys up front. You look out in Indianapolis, is that a case of him just with the Giants? And can he have kind of a refresher here in Indianapolis? I think they're better with Jones at quarterback. I agree with you, Matt. I think the argument to be made would be the Colts would be the serious challenge to Houston in that division as compared to, say, the Jacksonville Jaguars, where I have concerns about what Liam Cohen's going to be as a head coach. I know what he is as an offensive mind. And I'm still waiting for Trevor Lawrence to be this wunderkind of a quarterback. We've seen him at flashes at times, but we've also seen him have a propensity for turning the football over left and right.
And that's why I know it's not a sexy price at +115 for the Texans, but I put it in the account. If I lose the bet, am I going to be shocked? I won't. Maybe there is, you know, maybe Trevor Lawrence finally lives up to all of the hype coming out of college, and maybe some of these playmakers run. Maybe Travis Hunter makes all the difference in the world. Who knows? But if I lose this bet, I won't be shocked. But for me, as I broke this division down, I wrote off the Titans right from the get-go. You know, you're starting a rookie quarterback, and there's no talent there anyway. So I wrote. So basically, it's a three-team division. I'm getting plus money on the team that I feel is superior to the other two teams. And I see warts and deficiencies in those other two teams that I don't necessarily see with the Texans. Now, we could be wrong on Stroud. Maybe Stroud is just middling. I mean, like, you know, maybe what we saw as a rookie was the aberration. What we saw last year was actually the norm. But I'm not buying it. I think he's probably somewhere in between those two. And at +115 for the Texans, like I said, it made it in the account for me.
Right, but okay, so even if he's in the middle of those two, you still think the Texans win this division?
Correct.
I agree.
Correct.
Right? So, and then if he is more of what we saw year one than year two, the Texans win this division by daylight. Like, so, like, that's where, you know, logically you got to, like, look at it. And from a Houston perspective, and why, you know, at +115 to go out there and win the division based on, you know, you look at the quarterbacks. It's C.J. Stroud. It's Trevor Lawrence, who's better in theory than he is in reality. And then you've got, even though I like Daniel Jones, you've got Daniel Jones as the starting quarterback. And then you got a rookie down in Tennessee. So what am I going to bank on? I'm going to bank on the fact that what I saw for the most part year one from Stroud, I think is real. I don't necessarily think that that is an aberration. And if that is the case, then the Texans are going to easily win this division.
What we do get is a couple of rookie of the year candidates from this division, though, because Cam Ward is your second shot behind only Ashton Jeanty. And then not too far behind that is Travis Hunter. Do you think just the opportunity alone, even though the Titans are likely to be very bad, will be enough to keep Cam Ward in the conversation throughout the course of the year? And do you think that there will be enough offensive opportunity for Travis Hunter with the Jags to keep him in the conversation?
Well, I think it's too, I think the Hunter thing is how much does he play two way? Because I think that's going to keep him in the conversation. Like, what's the percentage of offensive snaps? What's the percentage of defensive snaps? What's the percentage of time on the field during the course of the season for the Jacksonville Jaguars? Like, all that, because that's something that we have rarely seen, right? We saw Deion do it. We've seen, you know, others at times do it, but not to the level that they're expecting from Travis Hunter, who was a two-way player for Deion Sanders out there in Colorado. I think when you look at the Tennessee quarterback situation and Cam Ward, I think he's going to take, it's going to take him. And I think he was by far the best quarterback prospect in this draft. Mm-hmm. And I think he's an easy guy to go out there and root for. I don't know if he's necessarily going to have the enough offensive stats or the Titans are going to win enough games to keep him into the consideration to be in rookie of the year at the end of the year. I think Jeanty clearly leads the marketplace because the opportunity is going to be there in Vegas. And if I were to pick one of the two in this division, I would pick Hunter more than I'd pick Cam Ward.
Yeah, I wonder about Ward's counting stats, mainly because the defense isn't terrible for the Titans. I mean, like, you're talking about like Key, Simmons, Sweat, Joseph Day, Hooker, Baker. I mean, like, they've got some playmakers. So I don't know if they're just going to be getting their teeth kicked in every week. So I don't know if it just goes into full YOLO mode where he's just dropping back and throwing every single down. And so I don't know if the counting stats will be there for Ward. So again, at the super short number of 350, I have absolutely no interest in Ward.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think he's going to be a really good player. I think it's just going to take him a little bit of time. And I think the Titans made the correct choice and not moving out of that pick with the number one overall draft choice and went with him coming out of Miami. I'm a little concerned in terms of looking at this marketplace and making an investment in terms of how it looks year number one and what do the stats look like year number one for Cam Ward.
Guys, we got that betting splits page over on VSiN.com. Go on in there. You can see what's happening over at DraftKings, see what's happening over at Circa. That is the big rest of country book out there with DraftKings, and of course the more Vegas centric bigger bets type stuff going on over there at Circa. Compare, contrast, see what makes your, you know, little heart flutter over there on that betting splits page. We know you love it. Go in VSiN.com/subscribe, get started for as little as $9.99.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Primetime here on the sports betting network. Matt Brown, Mark Melusis in here for the guys on a Wednesday. And we've got big contest happening here at Circa, Mark, out here behind me. Of course, we have Circa Millions, where you go in and you make the picks against the spread, and then Circa Survivor that goes down. Massive, massive prize pool. Could be just one single winner, win $15 million this year, but
that'd be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice if I was the one single winner. That'd be good. Of course, the Grandissimo gets added this year, $100,000 buy-in contest as well. That is, of course, winner take all, should it, you know, get down to just one guy there with that one too. Still the single entry, but there'll be people come in. I'm not worried about them getting to the 15 entries to get that thing to the guarantee. But if you don't live in Nevada, it's not a big deal. Come in, sign up, and then just use Winner Circle Proxy. So what they do is they put your picks in for you each and every week. You tell them what you want. They put it in. All you have to do is come sign up in person. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VSiN for all of the details. But come to town, meet up with the guys, sign up for the contest, and then you can head home and you can play along with us in the Millions, in Survivor. And hell, if you're super rich, they'll do your Grandissimo entry as well too, though I can't imagine putting up 100K and then not putting in my own pick on a certain week. But you know, they'll do it for you if you want them to. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VSiN for more information. Mark, you got 100K hanging around? You just want to come sign up for this thing?
No doubt. Absolutely.
You could be entry number two. I'm looking. You could be entry number two if you want to come do it.
No doubt. I'll fly out tomorrow there.
I mean,
Matt, I wanted to ask you, of all the hosts at VSiN, outside of yourself, who would you trust most with their knockout picks?
It's tough because there are varying strategies, I think, amongst the risk tolerance among the different hosts, I think, are a lot different, right? I think there are some people who are willing to kind of just go for broke, and then there are others that are not necessarily, who are just survive in advance. And so I'd probably pick someone that had a style similar to mine, which is more of the, hey, I'm either going to win or I'm going to lose it. I'm not like trying to get to week 12 and then have my heart broken type deal, you know?
Yeah.
Because so my strategy has been, I had 4 entries 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I had 5 entries, and then I had 6 entries last year. But what I've done is just, I've always just put them on the same team, right? I've always just put all the entries on the same play. So if my team loses, I'm just out, right? For the contest. And I'm thinking I might change it up this year. I don't know. Maybe split the entries between 2 different picks that I like and see if maybe I can like get to a point where it makes sense. I don't know.
Can I ask you?
Yeah.
So you had 6 entries. How long did you last year?
I think, what was it? Week 4? I think it was week 4. Yeah. When everybody was totally dead. Yeah. I think it was week 4.
All right. So all entries, what was your pick week 4? Do you remember?
I think it was Cincinnati. I'm pretty sure it was Cincinnati that took me out.
Okay. So because they
took out everybody last year. Cincinnati lost on 3 different occasions that they were supposed to win and like took out 70% of the field.
Yeah. The Cincinnati New England game week 1. Terrible. I mean, but so you had 6 entries and all of them were out based on the fact that the Bengals lost week 4.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
And why wouldn't you? Can I just point it just we've worked together on a couple of occasions. Why wouldn't you spread it out a little bit to give you a better opportunity, not just to make it to week 12, because there's more than one team you like during a given week. Why would you have everything get eliminated just if there's one upset?
Well, the thought would be that if I can get to like week 10 or 12 with all 6 entries
spread out,
then I can start. And then it really increases my chances of being able to win the thing. Right. And so that's kind of the goal. The goal is to like try to move the whole army along and then start to spread the army out. And, you know, I haven't gotten to that point yet, unfortunately, but that's the goal. You know, that would be the ultimate goal is to get that done. So I don't know. Again, I might switch up the strategy this year. I haven't completely decided how I'm going to go about all of that, but neither here nor there. Winner's Circle Proxy, no matter where you live, they'll come and they'll put in the picks for you. AFC West, Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, Raiders, a very, very interesting division with a ton of different opinions. Chiefs are at 11.5. Both the Chargers and Broncos are at 9.5. And then the Raiders are down there at 6.5. I want to do something interesting here with this division, Mark, and start at the bottom with the Raiders, where 6.5 win total. They get Geno Smith. They draft Ashton Jeanty. They change out the coaching staff.
Yeah.
I actually don't think while I don't think they're going to win a ton of games, I actually don't think they're going to be just a layup each and every week. Like, I think they're going to be annoying to all the teams that they play.
I agree with you. I don't disagree, because I think Pete Carroll was brought in to be a cultural changer out there in Vegas for the Raiders. And I think, even, you know, with that, you've seen it every stop of the way, starting, you know, USC and obviously up in Seattle. And now I think you're going to see in Vegas. I think he had to bring in guys who are going to buy in. And I think Geno, a quarterback, is going to be the ultimate buy in. He's got the running back that's going to help orchestrate that offense in Ashton Jeanty. And I think there's going to be buy in. I agree. I think the Raiders could actually play significantly better to the eye test this year and still go under 6.5.
Right.
Like, I think they could be in a lot of games, lose a lot of close games, be one of those teams that if a couple things here or there went right and still go 5-12 during the regular season.
I think they are going to be the best bad team in the NFL. I think they'll be the best bad team in the NFL. The Chiefs are -120 to win the division. Broncos are 3-1. The Chargers just right there with them at 310 to win the division. I've already said multiple times, I'm a little bit down on the Chiefs comparatively to the market out there. I actually bet the Broncos to win this division early on, a little bit better number than you can get today. it has nothing to do with the Chiefs or Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid or any of that. Is more that I just think the Broncos have closed the gap more than the odds have dictated. I don't think that the Chiefs at minus 120 and the Broncos, which we got at the time nearly close to 4-1, was that big of a chasm between those two teams. Travis Kelce is a year older. There is still question marks at that wide receiver position. Guys coming off of major injuries and then without that true elite number one there for Patrick Mahomes to throw to. And so, Mark, again, I don't think – it's not like I didn't pick the Chiefs to make the playoffs. I have them make the playoffs and all of that. I just don't know if it is definitely surefire their division this year. I think these other teams have gotten better for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. I'll give a throw the flowers at the Los Angeles Chargers a little bit. I don't disagree with your assessment of the Denver Broncos and coaching matters. And Sean Payton's a hell of an NFL coach, and we've seen it. And Bo Nix year two, I would imagine that Bo Nix, under the guidance and tutelage of Sean Payton, is going to be better year two than he was in year one. And he was really good in year one. And they went to the playoffs before they got it handed to him by the Buffalo Bills. But I'm going to give the Chargers. We all know how good Herbert is. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to stay on the field. We all know what Harbaugh believes in. Obviously, line play, offensive and defensive line. I think letting guys go like a Joey Bosa, who all of a sudden is hurt once again as he signed with the Buffalo Bills during the course of the offseason. I'm going to give a little love to the Los Angeles Chargers. I agree with you. I think this is all, I love this division, first and foremost, because it's the Chiefs, it's the Broncos, and it's the Chargers. I think you can make an argument for either Denver or Los Angeles to potentially be the surprise winner of this division. I don't know if they'll all of a sudden get there, but I think this is going to be a lot closer than we have seen in quite some time with Reed and Mahomes at the helm for Kansas City.
I think I would be in love with the Chargers if I felt like they had an actual number one wide receiver, and I could be proven wrong. Maybe, maybe Johnson just needed a year or so, maybe he just needed some time to get things figured out. I think Ladd McConkey is a really great slot receiver. I mean, but if your slot receiver is your number one receiver, then you probably are doing it wrong. And so, good offensive line, top five quarterback, you drafted Hampton. I think he's really good. I mean, there's not a lot to dislike about this Chargers team, and they have some real playmakers on the defensive side of the ball too. It wouldn't surprise me if we look up and the Chiefs have split with both the Chargers and the Broncos. They played a really tough game along the way with the Raiders. Maybe the Raiders just figured out how to steal one or something. Like I don't like the win total for the Chiefs either. And I know it's the Chiefs, and it is the greatest quarterback maybe we've ever seen and one of the greatest coaches we've ever seen as well. But 12 wins is hard to come by in the first place, and then you add in the Chargers, the Broncos, and what I think will be at least a froggy Raiders team. I again lean towards the under on these big win totals.
Yeah, see, I'd be, and we talked about the Ravens earlier in the hour, I'd be more comfortable with betting the Ravens over the number than I would Kansas City based on the division, because I don't think there's weaknesses as significant as there are in the teams trailing the Chiefs as there are those that are trailing the Ravens in the AFC North. So that's why I look at it, because I think Denver and Los Angeles have both tightened the gap. And I think they both got coaches that put their teams in the best opportunity to win in Peyton and obviously Jim Harbaugh out there in L.A.
Yeah, and as we mentioned earlier, the rookie of the year market, Ashton Jeanty is your short shot. Makes perfect sense. He's going to start from day one. He's going to be a three down back. He might lead the league in carries. Seriously, it could happen. So I absolutely get that, but betting a 250 this early, certainly not my style. So I don't think I will be doing that. We'll check in on all these Major League Baseball scores when we come back and take a look over at the AFC East. Can anybody come after the Bills? Hint, no, they can't.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Time here on a Wednesday. Matt Brown, Mark Melusis, and the New York Yankees have flipped us the bird and said, oh, you want to talk bad about us? Well, guess what? We'll put up a sixth spot in the top of the fifth inning on Jose Berríos and make this thing a game. So Who cares if your starter's gone four innings, given up 10 hits, walked four, and given up two homers? Who cares? It's now 8-6 in favor of the Blue Jays, a sixth spot in the top of the fifth for the Yankees. It's still going, by the way, pitcher change there for the Blue Jays. So here we go. We got a game after all.
Yeah, we do. And we told you basically you didn't have to pay attention. Now you do. Stan, a big 3-run home run with Judge and Rice aboard to bring that within 8-6. Nobody on base. You mentioned pitching change, but the Yankees are right back in it. Who would have thought it? A Yankee team and a Yankee offense that looked absolutely lifeless, Matt. Down 8-0. They give up the 7 runs in the top, the top half of the bottom half of the first inning, and Will Wharton getting knocked around. All of a sudden, we got an 8-6 game and half the game to go.
Where's my Brewers doing this, man? I needed my Brewers doing this. Come on, they're down 5-0. Where was their run? Instead, I'm sitting here watching the Yankees do it. Hopefully, there's still a Brewers run to come so we can get some of at least a little bit of a sweat there in that one. I am on the bad side of that game. It's 5-0 Mets over the Brewers. 3-2. So Detroit has added another one there in Washington. So top of the seventh for the Tigers, down just one now. Still 2-1. Minnesota and Miami. Boston and Cincinnati, 3-0, but we got the bases loaded, I believe, right here with no outs. So this could get interesting. We'll see how that all turns out. Still 2-0, Angels and the Braves. 0-0, Baltimore, Texas, 0-0, Houston and Colorado that just got going as well, though there are two on for Houston. Did I just see? Hey, I asked for some run. Christian Yelich, solo home run. There, it's run the comeback trail here. 5-1 now. There we go. You just ask and you'll receive it. So there we go. Appreciate it. Thanks, Christian Yelich. Really wish it was a grand slam, but instead it's a solo home run. We'll see what happens there.
At least they're on the board.
Yeah, we're on the board. We're on the board. We are now just one swing of the bat away from tying the game. So there is at least
that's
that.
That's it.
All right, AFC East. Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets in that order as far as win totals go. That said, Bills out at 11.5. Dolphins, Pats both at 8.5. The Jets at 5.5. The Bills, one of your Super Bowl favorites, Josh Allen, one of your MVP favorites. And our screen says the win total is all the way up to 12.5 here. Maybe there's been some adjustments on that. So, again, regardless, Bills going to be one of the very best teams in the league. It does look like it's gotten up to 12.5 now. So 13 wins for them to cover their win total. Mark, it's very hard for me to we just got another home run. We asked for the home run. We just got another home run. Jackson Churio. All right, so I'm going to ask again. Hey, does anyone else want to hit another home run and get us back into this game? I would appreciate that. So there we go. Thanks, Brewers. A little bit of a sweat now. We talk about these poking holes in some of these teams at the top of these divisions, Mark. I mean, it's really good team to begin with, and then a bunch of teams that I don't like at all. Well, I can't say I don't like at all. I really liked what the Patriots did in the offseason. I think that they're on the up, but I think there's still a massive distance between them and the Bills. It seems like the Dolphins are almost punting on the season here with this one, and then the Jets just don't have any talent. Do you think that – what is the scenario that happens here in which they do not – that the Bills do not win this division?
Allen gets hurt. I mean, like, and it's done for the year. I mean, I think that would be it for the Buffalo Bills. Outside of that, even if he did, get hurt, could they still win this division? Yeah. I mean, I think Buffalo could still win this division. I mean, Matt, your assessment, I don't know what Miami is.
Yeah.
Like, I really have no idea. Like, I mean, it's just like a collection of players. I don't know exactly what they're going to look like this year for Mike McDaniel. I think the Jets are going to be pesky. The one thing I'll say about the Jets is I agree with you. Listen, I'm not a big Fields fan. I think there's going to be a significant upgrade in coaching comparing Aaron Glenn to Robert Saleh. All right. So I think that is going to be beneficial. I think there are things defensively you still like about the Jets, and there's playmakers that are still there. I think the offensive line has a chance to be pretty good. I could see the Jets going over their total. I don't know if I necessarily love it, but I could see it. But that's kind of the low barometer. The Bills are by far the better team, the best team in this division. It's not even close. Like, and I like Drake May going into year two. I like the fact that they added Vrabel. I agree with you. I like some of the personnel moves the New England Patriots made during the course of the offseason. I also think it's going to take time. Like, I really do. So you look at Buffalo, and even though it's the win total mark is tricked up to 12 and a half or ticked up to 12 and a half here, Matt, it's a hard thing to make to think that of the six games, what do you think against the Patriots, Dolphins and Jets? I mean, at worst, they go 4-2. They probably go 5-1. They could conceivably go 6-0 within the division. Who exactly, if Allen's healthy, who in that division's beating the Bills this year?
Yeah, I almost chalked it up as 6-0. I think 5-1 probably more realistic. They trip up somewhere along the way and maybe a second outing with one of these teams. But yeah, I wonder if we see the Dolphins. I mean, is Tyreek Hill going to stay? Are they going to get rid of him? What are they going to do? Like, I'm with you. The identity of the Dolphins, I can't get. I just don't understand what they're trying to do with that team right now. And I actually agree with you on the Jets. Like, I look at this roster, and it is not the worst. It's not the worst thing you've ever seen. I mean, Justin Fields, for what it's worth, I think he might. I think there's a world that exists where he's league average, Mark.
Okay. And I think the Jets probably agree with you. I think the Jets think that they're going to get the best with the coaching staff based on Glenn's experience in Detroit with Jared Goff, that they look at a guy that's physically gifted enough to play the position, that they think that they're going to be able to get the best and that he could take that step forward and potentially be like league average this year. And if he does that, then I think the Jets have an opportunity to go over that win total.
I agree with you. And now that I might talk myself into putting this in the account. I mean, I look at this offensive line, I guess I had just really not dug into the Jets as much as I should have. I mean, 4 of the 5 in the offensive line, you kind of like what you got right there. Of course, you like Garrett Wilson. Do you believe in Breece Hall? You know, I mean, like, I think I do.
I mean, think about this, man. I don't mean to interrupt you. Yeah. Think about what we were talking about with Breece Hall a year ago, and now he's kind of an afterthought. He's still the same guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he really is. Last year, they didn't have an offensive line. You know, they brought in Tyrone Smith, who was washed from the Dallas Cowboys, and you know, they had massive offensive line issues, protection, opening up holes for him. And we do know this with Breece Hall is that you give him a crack, he has the ability to go out there and take it 75 to 80 yards. So there are things to like. The big concern you have is, what do you feel about Fields? And if you're going to be positive, Justin Fields, if you're going to look at it and say, you know what, I think maybe this might be the right situation for him and the Jets can get the best out of Justin Fields, then you look at the rest of the roster. And if you answer the quarterback position in the positive, you like the offensive line. They've got a playmaker, a quarterback, a running back. They got a playmaker, a wide receiver. The defensive's got guys that you like as well. Like, there are things to like about this Jet team, and it's a significant upgrade with Glenn taking over Robert Saleh and his staff.
Over 5.5. There it is. We're doing it. We're making the play over 5.5 on the Jets. I'm sure I will not hate myself after putting that in there. I actually really do like what the Patriots said. I know you mentioned a lot of the stuff that they did. I mean, it is, I think Drake May, from what I saw of him last year, I think he can play.
Yeah.
I think them bulking up the defense is probably a pretty smart thing to do when you're in a division with the Bills and go in and like, how we're probably not going to outscore them. So maybe we can try to keep them from scoring. And I really, really like what they did. And sure, they're probably a year away. They need to add another playmaker or two on the offensive side, but I think that the Patriots are going to be a tough out too.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that because I think Vrabel is a massive upgrade over Gerard Mayo, who was the head coach a year ago, and what he did and understands and trying to bring about his way and his style. And I think we saw results in Tennessee, and I think you'll see results. And we all know this. If you've got a young quarterback, we talked about Stroud earlier this hour, right? That changed everything for the Houston Texans, right? All of a sudden, Houston became this team that, you know, going into last year that people were looking at as an outside choice to potentially come through the AFC and get themselves to a Super Bowl, outside choice. You look at the Patriots now with May. If he takes that massive step forward year number two, right, then all of a sudden we're looking at this New England Patriot team differently 5 months from now than we are sitting here on this Wednesday night in July.
Yeah, this Buffalo team, a massive favorite. I bet the Bills-Patriots exact a 1-2 there at plus 150. It puts it into a much more palatable bet than laying, you know, minus 260 or whatever it is for the Bills. I like the Bills-Patriots to go 1-2. there in that division. Of course, guys, we know that's why we're talking so much NFL, that our betting guide is out right now. If you are not a VSiN Pro subscriber, go in VSiN.com/subscribe. If you are, it's waiting on you. You should go download it. But if you are not, VSiN.com/subscribe, go in. $175 now through the end of the Super Bowl. You're going to get a preview of every single one of the teams. Like I said, an entire section dedicated to the MVP market. And of course, all of the different player props and projection stuff that we like as well. All the bets and everyone's account at the time of publishing there in this VSiN.com/subscribe.